Good evening. It is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. Well, tonight, it's always a pleasure when we have Nancy Aruda here because, you know, she gives us this perspective. Of course, we've been chatting away and all of a sudden, it's time for our show. We sort of missed a little bit, but that's okay. So welcome, Nancy.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Well, we have you like at least twice a year because we need to know what's going
on. But it's fun. It's fun. I enjoy it.
Good, good. So I guess you're going to tell us about 2011.
Yes.
Is that what we call it, 2011?
I like to call it 2011.
Okay.
I don't know. But it is 2011. It's 2011. I think by saying 2011, you're giving it a different vibration from a numerological perspective.
That may be.
Whereas with 2000, I guess you'd have to call it 2011. To give it its complete vibration, but anyways. And of course, as you know, I like to start with the numerology.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so if we add the 2 plus 0 plus 1 plus 1 found in 2011, it comes to a 4. And the vibration of 4 is really a builder energy. So this year we're working on building and securing our foundation and focusing on stability. And I think like a lot of people, if you look at the economy and the current events that are going on, they're also focusing on that. Okay, let's repair the foundation. Let's focus on our stability and build on it. Okay, as opposed to continue to rack up all that debt that's been happening over the last few years or centuries, actually.
Well, it's gotten worse, certainly.
Yeah. So it's about being really, really practical. So it is a year of tapping into wisdom and focusing and applying it in very practical ways, okay, so that we can, balance out everything that's kind of unbalanced. Working more with the conscious mind with the number 4 vibration as well. So it's about, being very conscious about what's going on in your unconscious mind. Being aware of your reactions in the world and how you respond and react to things. Because typically our instant reactions are an unconscious vibration that are becoming or is looking for conscious attention. So that being said, we're working with the element of the earth this year.
Okay.
And I like to transform the numerological vibration into the tarot, which then gives us an astrological association to go with it. So the number 4 belongs to the constellation of the Emperor. And we also need to consider 22 and 13 in this formula as well as we map it to the major arcana.
Okay.
Okay, so 4 is the Emperor. And the principle of this constellation is really the principle of life force and the realization of power. So it's about being very aware of your own internal life force energy and how you apply that life force energy out in the on the world or in the earth or in your day-to-day experience.
And the Emperor, it's often associated with like corporate type of, that type of very basic male energetic power.
Right. And it's leadership energy as well. Okay. So, and that's where we're taking that wisdom. Okay. So if you think of like the corporate leader, he's in that position of being a corporate leader because of the wisdom that he's gained through life. Wisdom isn't just knowledge. What wisdom is knowledge plus experience. Okay. You can be knowledgeable, but if you have no life experience, your knowledge is meaningless.
Mm.
You can be experiential and you can experience all kinds of things. But if you don't think about what you're experiencing, then that experience is meaningless.
Mm.
Okay. It's when you put those two together that you actually have wisdom. So wisdom can only be attained through experience and age. Because, the more experience you have, the more you build on what you have learned and on a, logical level, and you blend those together, and it's those two things that equal wisdom. So, in the tarot, for example, the Emperor is depicted as, an elderly gentleman, somebody with a white beard, with white hair. They may not appear that old, but they have that wisdom of the sage within their white hair.
Right.
Okay. And again, it's not, a spiritual energy by no means, in the tarot. It's more of the corporate leader, like you said.
Yeah.
Okay, or the father. It's a patriarchal energy.
Yes.
So we're working through our father issues. All of humanity is working through their father issues.
Great.
Or their patriarchal energies.
Mm.
Okay. So with the principle of life force and the realization of power, there's things that were, you know, there's keywords associated to this, and that's completion and transition, establishing and building, releasing, mortality and immortality, and rites of passage. So anybody who's experiencing those rites of passage ages, you know, there'll be a lot of intensity. Or like, for example, if you're getting married this year, marriage is a rite of passage. Mm. There'll be a lot of intensity and a lot of life lesson and life building within those rites of passage this year, because it is supported by the four vibration. When we look specifically at the Emperor, it's going to be a very conscious expression. And the Emperor is associated to the sign of Aries. Okay, Aries is all about initiation, leadership. It's inspiring, active. It's about doing. Okay, so it's not an energy that says just sit back and relax. This is a year to really get up and go, to do. But here we're working through the realization of our paternal and worldly power in the physical force, and working with the element of generation, so like generating things.
Okay.
Okay. There's two unconscious expressions. One is going to be very, very unconscious. The other one's going to become conscious through an astrological event that's taking place this year. So the next number in that sequence, which is not found in the formula for 2011, which is the number 13, which is associated to the death card and the sign of Scorpio. Okay, because 1 + 3 = 4. So this is an unconscious expression, and people need to consciously integrate the realization of life power, the vital force, and the ability to release or transform things. Because when we're working through this energy, if we're really attached to something, it's not going to work in our benefit based on that level of attachment unless we're willing to transform how that attachment operates. Okay. So yes, you can be attached to your goal. You may need to transform the steps of attaining that goal. Okay. You may find you need to change the goal completely because it's not what you wanted when it comes to working towards like manifesting things that you desire. The next vibration is the 22, which is also known as the zero card in the major arcana.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Is the Fool. And when you look at the Fool, you know, you got this image of a guy standing at the edge of the cliff, and he's kind of got his head looking up into the air as opposed to where his feet are going. And there's this bright golden divine sky surrounding him. This particular astrological association to the Fool is the planet Uranus, which is the awakener. Okay, and Uranus awakens us to our truest potential. It'll remove anything that's in the way of us attaining that divine light within us. And here is the realization of eternal power.
Hmm.
Okay, so we're blending the three powers together: paternal and worldly power, life power, eternal power. And we're working with the spiritual force and regeneration. So it's that cycle within. You know, if we look at death, transformation, rebirth, it's the regeneration cycle. So it's kind of like that energy or element of feeling somewhat suspended because you don't know what the next step is.
Oh, I've right? not been there at all.
Being a little sarcastic, are we?
Oh, just a tad.
As you roll your eyes up at the ceiling.
Well, it's either laugh at myself or cry, right?
Yeah, believe me, I can totally relate to what you're experiencing. I'm sure the majority of humanity can
you know,
as well.
I know, yes.
You're not alone. Anyways.
And it doesn't make it feel any better knowing that.
No, it doesn't. No. We can pretend it does, though.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Well, you know that whole saying, fake it till you make it, right?
Yeah, right. So authentic. It's so real. Yes.
Yes. Okay. So where was I before I got sidetracked there with the giggles?
Uranus.
Right. Uranus.
Uranus.
Uranus. Uranus. Whatever.
Everybody sort of plays around with that one because they don't want to say Uranus.
That's why I say Uranus.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. So working with regeneration. So when we look at the main astrological influence associated to anything this year, we're really like the main component is the sign of Aries.
Okay.
Now, Aries is very strong when the sun moves into the sign of Aries, which is typically around March 20th to April 19th. Okay. It changes from year to year. okay? Because the sun doesn't operate on our regular calendar, okay? And to our time clock, it right. operates on its own.
Imagine that.
Yeah, so that's why it does change. Like, there's a cusp date, right?
Right.
So the typical activation will be in the spring of the year. But to try and kind of harness that Aries energy, what we can do is look at its ruling planet, which is Mars. Now, Mars is not an evolutionary planet. It's more a planet that works on us on a day-to-day, week-to-week level.
And was Aries, did it have to do with the Emperor? Is that why?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Aries is associated to the Emperor, okay. which is our conscious expression.
Right.
Okay. Which is really about initiation, action, doing. Okay. Mars is a similar vibration to Aries.
Yeah.
It's ruled by Aries.
Yeah.
So it's the planet of action, anger, aggression, movement,
great
motivation.
Sex.
Sorry?
Great sex.
Yes.
Yes. Well, we don't want to miss that.
No, we don't.
No.
Okay. So we really need to say, like, what's Mars doing this year? And I think the best way to open up your consciousness is to ask yourself some questions. Okay, so key questions to consider this year are, how are you acting or taking action? Okay, on a proactive level, on a reactive level. If you can observe your proactive actions versus your reactive actions, you know, you're more in alignment with choosing, okay, or being conscious. So when you're proactive, you're choosing to act in a specific way, which says, I'm thinking about how I'm going to respond or act to a situation versus I'm going to let my unconscious mind dictate how I'm going to act. Okay. Have you dealt with your anger issues? Because if you haven't this year, they will surface. They're looking for recognition. And it's not so much this year that they'll surface. Mars goes retrograde the beginning of 2012. So it's going to be like any repressed anger always looks for that release valve when Mars goes retrograde. And because there's so much strength in Mars and our driving force this year, it's going to be building up.
Was it in retrograde at the beginning of this year? Or was that,
am no.
I thinking something else?
Okay. Venus went retrograde this year, yes. So Mars will be, like, Mars goes retrograde every 22 months, okay. I believe. 22 to 24 months, somewhere in that time period. Mm-hmm. Whereas Venus is a little more regular at around 18 months, 18 to 20 months.
Okay.
Right? So, like, I'm thankful we don't have both in the same year, because then it would be very intense.
Right.
One a year is good. So there is no Mars retrograde in 2011, but it will be, like, I think it's, and I'm not 100% sure, but it's like the first week of January in 2012. Mm-hmm. So anything that we don't do, and if we repress our emotions and our angers, it will build up for that release valve at the beginning of 2012. Other questions, are you aware of how you're using your internal power? What is your driving force? How can you use your driving force to attain your desire? Okay, because Mars also rules desires and passions. So do you know what your desires
we
are?
We established that. Great sex, right?
Yeah. Well, that would be the physical earth element of the passion,
oh,
desire
right,
level. Okay. How can you tap into your passion and manifest it? And what are you passionate about? A lot of people don't know what their passions mm-hmm. are. Like, what motivates you, right? What gets you out of bed in the morning other than, you know,
great sex.
Great sex or paying the bills.
Right. That doesn't get me out in the morning because that's not as, yeah, that's normally a negative association with that. It's like, okay.
Well, there's a big portion of humanity, you know, that is their motivating factor.
Right.
Just, you know, they don't like their job. They don't want to go to work because they don't right. like their job. And they just get out of bed because they need that paycheck in order to pay their bills. Mm. You know, you need to ask yourself, what can you do that you love doing so that it's that love of doing that gets you out of bed in the morning, not the paycheck that goes with it.
Right.
If you're doing what you love, the pay comes second nature. Okay. It's there. You get what you need. You know, might not get what you want. Okay. But you will get what you need.
Yeah.
So just to recap on Mars, because we really need to understand where our passions lie and work through any frustrations or anxieties that we have as we approach this 2012 gateway, okay,
right.
Of illumination. And so if we look to Mars in 2011, we start the year with it being in Capricorn. It actually shifted into the sign of Capricorn on December 7th. And it's a commanding energy, and we're activating stability as we start the new year. It moves into the sign of Aquarius on January 15th. It's kind of electric then, and it's activating light energy. Mm. Okay. Moves into the sign of Pisces on February 22nd, 2011. It's a restless energy because it's going to be activating some karma. Moves into the sign of Aries on April 2nd, 2011. It's energetic and it's activating initiation. This is the most important cycle of Mars in the year of 2011, which starts April the 2nd and it goes till May the 10th. Okay, so really focus on how you're applying your energy that time, because this is where you're on a spiritual level, you're activating a spiritual initiation, and on a mundane level, you have the most energy to do what you need to do. Okay, as right. It works for the masses. Okay, it may be a little bit different for some people. Like if Aries isn't in a good spot in your chart, then you're not going to enjoy the Mars in Aries. Okay, mm-hmm. But if it is placed well in your chart and there's not a lot of like challenging energy around it, then this is the best Mars energy to be working with, or time to be working with the energy of Mars. Mars then moves into Taurus on May the 11th. It's a resourceful energy and you're activating building. Moves into the sign of Gemini on June 20th, 2011. It's a spontaneous vibration activating duality. Okay, so again, be aware of the active, reactive versus proactive dynamic then. Mars in Cancer, August the 3rd, and it's a temperamental vibration, but it's activating nurturing. So you really need to focus on your foundational, any foundational issues that you may have, right? Then it moves into the sign of Leo on September the 18th, where it's stimulating or activating spirit and heart-centeredness, and it's a passionate vibration. So we can really tap into our passions then. And then Mars moves into Virgo on November the 10th, and it remains there for the remainder of the year, where it is activating a disciplined energy and service. So being of service, how can we actively serve, you know, humanity? But again, Mars is more of a personal energy. It rules the day-to-day over the periods of a couple of weeks. Yeah. So it's more of a mundane vibration, right? It's what gives us energy to get up and go. If we want to look to evolution, then we really need to look to the outer planets. And this is where Uranus, which is associated to the number 22 in the Fool, is being... So even though on a numerology,
yes.
Vibration, the 22 is unconscious because it's not in the formula.
Right.
Okay. But on a planetary, it becomes conscious because Uranus will officially move into the sign of Aries and it will be there until 2018. So we've already experienced Uranus and Aries this year in 2010. It shifted into the sign of Aries May 27th, 2010. But it retrograded back into the sign of Pisces on August the 13th. So it will move direct. It stationed direct December the 5th. So it's finally moved forward again. And it will move back into the sign of Aries on May 15th. March 11th, 2011. And it remains there until May the 15th, 2018.
Nice.
So... what does that mean? Do you want to know what that means? With Uranus and Aries, we are awakening within the self. We're really like becoming conscious of the self and awakening the divine light within the self. Mm. Okay, so it's about noticing your own sense of spirit, your own sense of illumination, your own sense of eternal power, and activating that and being that. So not just observing it, not just listening to the little voice in your head, but truly being the divine light within the self. Okay. So it is a time of consciousness of light. Okay. So all of the world is starting to recognize we can focus in a more positive way, being more inspired. So we're understanding the light within the self versus the dark. The age of Aquarius, for example, many people believe we've already entered into the age of Aquarius. What it is the age of light. Okay.
Yes.
as opposed to the age of darkness. We're coming out of the age of darkness and going into the age of light.
Why is Pisces considered the age of darkness?
Well, Pisces is the unconscious mind. Oh, it is why. The soul. Okay, the soul vibration, the highest vibration of our light, but it's not something that can be in our conscious mind. Our physical bodies, and it's slow, like even though our bodies vibrate an energetic frequency, okay, which then goes out of us, and we've learned that in school, that everything's made up of energy, and energy is always in motion. Energy in living tissue vibrates quicker than in non-living tissue, or non-living matter, I should say, like a table, okay? So our body can handle more energy than something that's not moving at a higher rate of speed, but to absorb the energetic vibration of the soul in its totality, our body cannot physically handle that. So there's a huge part of soul consciousness that cannot be made conscious.
Okay.
Okay. And Pisces is about the unconscious mind. So about all that stuff that's floating in our unconsciousness, all the karma that our soul came here to learn or work through, all of that lives within the unconscious mind. If you awaken that all at once, okay, you'll fry your neurological system. Okay, the neurons in the brain will fry. It can't handle. Our body's not physically made at this point to handle that type of frequency. When we enter into the age of light, the more we shift our own energetic vibration and we raise our energetic vibration, the more we start to alter our body chemistry. So it's kind of like if, and the one thing I can relate to is like, for example, the evolution of the horse, okay? So there's points in the evolution of the horse. I remember in grade school learning that the horse was this tiny, tiny little creature, okay, that could fit in the palm of your hand. But the more the horse evolved, the bigger it got. Okay, so that...
I don't think I'd learned that, but go
you
ahead.
You don't... No. I remember this, like, little tiny horse, and then the horse got bigger and bigger. Look at the evolution of man from a scientific perspective, okay? Not from a religious perspective, but from a scientific perspective, where, you know, it states that we started off as apes, for example, and then our body, like, and we were in that ape form. We had the more of an ape brain, which didn't hold as much intelligence as a human brain today does, based on its placement and size and shape and all that stuff, okay? So the human body has evolved over time. Well, we continue our evolutionary process. The parts of the body we don't use become dormant. The parts we do use become enhanced. So as we enter from this age of the unconscious mind into the age of the conscious mind, which means taking what's in your unconscious and making it conscious, because like most of the stuff you read about today, it's about be conscious, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. We're altering our body chemistry and we're altering the neurons within our brain so that it can hold a higher frequency. We'll begin to shift our DNA and our body makeup so that it can hold more light frequency, more light vibrations. But of course, evolution takes ages. Okay, so if we go back to the age of the ape, right? Like it's, I don't know how many years, so I don't even want to quote it, but I, you know, it's a long time.
Yes. So, okay, so this is a little bit unrelated, but although not specifically, why is it that when we look at planets, they're going, you know, Aquarius, Pisces, Aries, but when we're looking at ages, it's Pisces to Aquarius. We're going, it's like it's going backwards instead of forwards.
Okay, if I answer that question, I don't know from a scientific perspective why that happens. From an esoteric perspective, okay, it's the as above, so below.
Okay,
so it's the mirror.
Okay.
Okay. When you look at the life of a human being, it goes from Aries to Taurus to Gemini, to it follows that direct motion. When you look at the evolution of the soul through the human being and its levels of initiation, it actually operates backwards. It goes from Aries to Pisces to, so as you're initiating your soul's consciousness and becoming more and more evolved as an individual, you're actually moving through the signs backwards as opposed to forwards.
Interesting.
Okay. I'm sure there's a scientific explanation, but I'm not into the science of astrology.
Right. No,
I'm into
either.
The more the esoteric spiritual vibrations.
Well, that makes, well, that works for me. I'm going to go with that. So thank
you. Okay, good. Because that's how I see it. And, you know, one of my favorite authors, which most people don't understand, and it is difficult to understand her, is Alice Bailey. And she's constantly, whenever she refers, she talks about the evolution of the soul going backwards through the signs versus forward through the signs. The human goes forwards. The soul goes backwards.
That makes sense.
Okay. So it pulls in the as above, so below, in its three-dimensional cyclic shape.
So was Alice Bailey, was she an astrologer?
No.
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 She was an esoteric teacher.
Yes. Esoteric teacher, yes.
Cool.
So long, long time ago. So I'm like, I like a lot of her concepts and ideas, and I allow for evolution in them. So I'm not like stuck on them as being 100% truth, not to say that it isn't 100% truth, but I also believe we have evolved since her writings.
Yes.
Right? So, but a lot of her stuff I can resonate with. So,
cool.
And I'm one of those people, take what you want, leave what you don't.
Exactly.
If it doesn't resonate with you, let it go.
Yes.
Right? So while Uranus is in Aries, if we get back on topic, because I think I got a little sidetracked there.
That's okay. It's been good.
Yeah. We're awakening the divine within the self. So for those people who aren't conscious, okay, because it doesn't mean you have to believe in some external God. It's about really finding that internal, passionate, motivating spirit within yourself.
Right.
For the people that choose not to look at that, they may have some personal wake-up calls.
Right.
Okay. And it was a friend of my mother's who's a spiritual advisor who said, there's going to be two different people as we approach 2012. There's going to be the people that consciously move through their issues. Okay. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but they're consciously moving through it and they're accepting where they're at and they're doing everything they can to better themselves. And then there's going to be those people who are stuck in the pain. Okay. The ones that refuse to make any changes, that, you know, want to stay in that victim consciousness, and they will only operate from a painful experience. Okay. And I'm not saying being conscious is painless. Okay. Because it's not.
It's not.
Okay. Yeah. It's just a choice on how you view the dynamic. Okay. Right. But the people that choose not to view it, okay, are going to be stuck more in the pain, right? Which goes back to what Eckhart Tolle was talking about, the pain body in the new earth, okay? Right. And again, it's a choice. You can choose to stay there or you can choose to shift your perspective and look for some enlightenment, right? People will be asserting themselves, so their personal needs and wants, okay? If there are things that you want and need, you need to assert yourself. Be aware of, you know, the law of cause and effect. So what you send out comes back to you. because if you assert yourself in a way that imposes harm upon others, okay, that comes back to you. If you assert yourself in a way that doesn't impose harm on anybody, then that comes back to you. Okay. And that's the law of cause and effect. For every action, there is a reaction.
Yeah.
Okay. Individuals are going to be breaking away from dependence, finding their own strength and self-reliance and self-motivation. So you need to motivate yourself versus you need your job to motivate you. Okay. So that's just a little example of how you can look at that. Discovering your individual raw, passionate, and instinctive drives. You can formulate and initiate goals and work towards accomplishing them while Uranus is in the sign of Aries. With Uranus, you can always expect the unexpected. Okay, so when challenges arise, individuals need to look for the opportunity that those challenges present and formulate a unique solution. Okay, because we're allowed to work with unique energy during this time period. Uranus will retrograde in 2011. It does once a year, typically. It goes retrograde on July the 9th. Okay. And we're given an opportunity through this Uranus retrograde period to awaken the capacity of self-transcendence on a higher level. It then stations direct on December the 10th.
Why is it so long? Why is Uranus every year for so long?
Because it's so far away from the sun. Okay. Or from the Earth. So the further away it is, the longer its orbital path.
But I thought the further,
longer its retrograde cycle.
I thought the further away was also the least often you would have it go retrograde.
Yes. It only goes retrograde once a year.
Yeah, but Mars goes...
For a very long period of time.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's once a year for like 6 months.
Retrograde is a perspective. Okay. It is only a perspective. It is not a reality.
My ruling planet.
Yeah, I know. Which gives you lots of time to work through this particular opportunity to awaken the capacity of self-transcendence.
What was I working through this year?
Well, that's what humanity will be working through on this right. Uranus retrograde. When it stations direct, it will do so on December the 10th, where one can understand the emergence of new forms and the potential for consciousness. Okay, so this particular Uranus retrograde is really about looking at your consciousness, awakening to your authentic nature inside yourself. And not who you think you should be or who you believe yourself to be based on those beliefs that you've taken on from other individuals.
But when it goes retrograde this time, it stays in Aries.
It stays in the sign of Aries, right. Because when it goes direct at 0 degrees of Aries, 38 minutes. So it goes direct at the 0 degree mark. So it's still in the sign of Aries.
Right.
Yeah. Other planets in the sign of Aries this year is Jupiter will be in Aries.
Okay, wow.
Before it shifts into the sign of Taurus on June the 4th. So it'll be in Aries from January 22nd to June the 4th, wow. 2011. And we'll talk more about Jupiter and Taurus later. But while Jupiter is in Aries, we're activating the spiritual warrior, accessing higher knowledge around the self, opening up to self-consciousness and the divine within. Set your big picture goals and your spiritual goals. So that's just the energy that works with the Aries vibration. What's interesting to note is Saturn continues its journey through the sign of Libra, which is exactly opposite the sign of Aries. However, we have finished. Thank the creator, okay? The Saturn-Uranus oppositions.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Which, yes, was torturous. It was a 2.5 year torture.
Right. Yeah, I remember that.
For most. But, okay. And Pluto's in Capricorn, which squares the Aries energy that transpires this year. Anything that happens in the sign of Cancer also squares the Aries energy this year. Okay, since the year is all about Aries. And what square does is initiate challenges. Now, challenges need to be viewed as opportunities for growth. Because that's what they are, right?
Yes, yes.
If we're going to be conscious and look at the positive side.
Well, they are opportunities for growth. I mean, it's all an opportunity to grow. It's just, it's choice in how you view it.
Yeah.
And, you know, where you stay in it and what you can let go of it.
That's right. So be optimistic, because the only planet, outer planet, that is doing any aspects, major aspects this year is Jupiter. Now, it will be aspecting with some other outer planets, but like there's no Saturn aspects. There's no Pluto aspects. There's no, like, Pluto will be aspecting the planets on the inner wheel. So the personal planets, but there's no like life altering Saturn opposite Uranus energy this year, or, you know, Uranus, whatever. So it's just Jupiter that's interacting with the outer planets.
Okay.
Okay. So
is that unusual?
Yes. Typically there are some pretty heavy duty Saturn, whether it's with Uranus or Pluto, there is one Saturn or Jupiter opposite Saturn. Okay. It's one hit. There's not three like there normally is.
Right.
There's only one. Let me look at the aspects. So we have Jupiter conjunct Uranus on January the 4th. One hit. It is a roller coaster ride vibration. Okay. full of surprising twists and turns, but you're at choice on whether or not it's fearful or exciting.
Right.
Okay? Because again, whether you tap into the energy of fear or whether you tap into the energy of excitement is all about your consciousness.
Yeah.
And all about your level of attachment. Okay? Are you afraid of letting something go or are you excited about letting something go?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay? So, people who are ruled by Jupiter will be willing or have no choice to try new things. It's a dual. You may want to or you may not want to, right? Stepping out of your safety zone, so taking risks that you never thought you might take. A desire to be free. Some people want to be left alone because they find their own internal freedom through their own, like, just that introspective hermit energy, right? Remember to show restraint, because when these two planets to get together, there can be an explosive energy, like a big boom.
Right.
And within that explosive energy is, you know, you may find, like, for some people, if they like to eat, okay, Uranus may say, oh, I'm going to eat the whole cake. Okay. And that's where you need to show restraint, okay? Because there's consequences sometimes if you try and go too far.
Right.
Okay? Does that make sense at all?
Oh, totally. Okay. I'm so that person.
Yeah.
I am so that too. Person. Me
too. There's days I just want a bite of cake.
No, and no, I'm never that person.
Days I want the whole cake.
No, I'm never that person that just wants a bite. No, if it's here, it's gone. Like, I can't buy stuff like that. If it's here, if it's in my house. Yeah. It's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So use restraint. Or there's consequences.
I do not beg.
There are opportunities for travel, study, technical, esoteric, or scientific pursuits. Okay. If any of those opportunities arise, now's a good time to kind of like jump on that surfboard and ride the wave kind of thing. Jupiter will square Pluto. Again, one hit only. February 25th, 2011. Hmm. This is where a little bit of tension comes in. There may be some struggle to achieve your goals, okay? And what you need to understand is that if there is any struggle at that point in time, it's because you need to look at it a little bit differently, okay? You need to integrate tolerance and patience because the timing's not right. So again, it's a divine timing kind of energy, but it's don't force anything. Just allow the process to unfold. So I'd give it about a week to 2 weeks before and after February the 25th.
Okay.
Okay. Jupiter opposite Saturn, one hit, March 28th, 2011. An obstacle energy where you need to implement more effort. So work with the hard, like people would say it's hard work. I don't like to think of anything as hard or easy. It's just really the amount of effort that you put in versus the least amount. This is a time where you need to put a little bit more energy into what it is you want to achieve and what you're working towards. There's this feeling of a need to expand, but the universe is saying the timing's not right to expand yet.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and I don't want to call that a divine timing, although it could be divine timing. Divine timing's new to my vocabulary. Anyways. Jupiter sextile Neptune. This is a good, happy feeling, like feeling at one with the world vibration. And this is June the 8th. One hit. Too bad there wasn't more. Not a lot of mundane influence here. So it's not going to, it can shift us on a spiritual, emotional level.
Okay.
So it is a good, happy, happy feeling, which we will need in the middle.
Is Jupiter still in Aries at that point, or is it moved to Taurus?
I believe it's moved into the sign of Taurus. June 4th. So, you know what? Maybe you will attain some kind of mundane goal because Taurus is an earth energy, okay, working on the practical realm here. But it's really a feeling at one with the world, where meditation, music, art, dance, photography, spiritual groups, travel, communicating with nature all bring that peace and tranquility at an easier rate than it would at any other point in time. Okay. Working with creative and intuitive sides, exploring your artistic and spiritual side is what's highlighted during this phase. We will be in the middle of a series of eclipses then. Mm-hmm. So we kind of need this little spiritual buffer. Okay. Because right. Eclipses are about purging.
Right.
So the spiritual buffer comes at the right time. Right.
Cool.
Jupiter will sextile Chiron on two hits, July the 2nd and December the 6th. And this is really a time of opportunity for healing on a large level. How I'm visualizing this on a like on a higher level, like for humanity, is heart chakra activations.
Nice.
Okay. So for people who go around more with a closed heart, their heart's going to be opening, vibrating at a higher rate of speed. For people that go around with an extremely open heart, which, you know, it's not beneficial to be all one way. It's about finding the balance, right? So for people that give too much because they're avoiding to give back to themselves, they're going to be into that place of, what do I need to do to take care of me? How do I nurture myself? Okay, so it all depends, again, where the individual is at, but it's really heart chakra activations.
Cool.
During those two time periods. There's, again, opportunity for learning, travel, and discovering new talents. Okay. And when we tap into the travel vibration, it's really about opening your mind to different cultures, accepting different cultures and belief systems, and not about bringing them on as your own, but that whole take what you want, leave what you don't, let go of other people's cultural influences that for some reason you've got this dogmatic, they're wrong, I'm right. Okay, let go. Everybody's entitled to their own belief. So there's the opportunity for some healing on a cultural level then. Okay, culture against culture, whatever.
Right.
And a lot of people will be expressing their wisdom gained through experience during that time period. Jupiter will trine Pluto, okay, two hits, July the 7th and October 28th, where we find the right balance between confidence and persistence. Okay, so the persistence that we need to propel us forward towards in our goals in life. Okay, there is a vibration of feeling confident and powerful. Okay, others will notice your own internal power when you tap into this powerful vibration. So use it wisely. Okay, because if you allow Jupiter to expand it too much and you misuse your power, then that misuse comes back.
Bites you in the ass.
Yes.
So what you talked about Jupiter in Aries, but you didn't, you said you were going to come back to
Jupiter in Taurus.
Yeah.
Okay. As Jupiter shifts into the sign of Taurus, Taurus is the builder of personal values and beliefs. So a lot of people are going to amplify their own personal values and beliefs. Okay. It's really easy for us to get caught up on trying to transfer those onto other individuals. Okay. Whereas we really need to, again, accept our own beliefs, focus on expanding our own personal beliefs. Okay. There's Jupiter kind of rules big business, big money. Okay. Taurus is about the practical, sustainable income. It can be twofold. So, like, I don't want to predict the economy could pick up or the economy can do a nosedive. It could go either way. Okay, because we work with the vibration of duality here on the earth. It depends on where humanity is going to be at. Okay, so I'm focusing my energy on the economy starting to thrive. And that's where I like to focus my energy. I don't listen to the news and get depressed about the economy and this, that, and the other thing. Like, I can see it in my own environment without having to turn on the news. So I want to consciously focus on expanding my portfolio and my prosperity consciousness.
So when did, is Jupiter in Aries right now, or is it still in Pisces? When does it move into, or has it?
Jupiter was in Aries this year.
Right.
I got to look up my ephemeris,
sorry,
though. No, that's okay. Something told me to write the dates down. I'm like, okay, I don't have time. Because we started 2010 with Jupiter in Pisces. It shifted into the sign of Aries June of 2010.
And then it went into retrograde?
It went into retrograde, and it retrograded out of Aries September of 2010, back into the sign of Pisces. Jupiter is now direct. It went direct on November 23rd.
Okay. But it's not quite into Aries yet?
Sorry, not around November 17th, sorry.
Okay.
No, it's not into Aries yet. It doesn't move into Aries until I gave that date, January 22nd, 23rd.
Oh, right. That's right. You said 22nd. Sorry.
Yeah, but yes, we did have a little taste of it. I kind of like Jupiter and Aries. If Jupiter's ruled by Sagittarius, which is a fire sign. So as it's in the sign of Aries, it's in its own element.
Right.
Okay. It's also like its historical ruler is Pisces, which is a water sign. So it can be viewed in its own element there as well. Jupiter might not like Taurus too much. Okay. Because Jupiter is like growth, expansion. It's big.
No, and they're very
Taurus
stubborn.
Is a very grounded earth element. Okay. So there may be like a little bit of contradiction.
Very slow to move forward too, right?
Yeah. And it's because of the values and beliefs.
Right.
Okay. But if Jupiter rules big business and large money, okay, potentially the economy, it's not the only ruler of the economy itself, right? You'd also have to look at Venus. You would also have to look at Saturn around the structure of the economy. Okay. So there's many things to consider. But if we look at Jupiter as in, you know, money in, money out, it's money in, money out very quickly. Okay. Which means we could either ground the economy or like sort of stabilize it so that there's more of a, what's the word I'm looking for? More of a flow. Okay. Consistent flow within it. It can come to a halt. If the Taurus vibration
is too strong,
for the Jupiter energy, then it can actually come to a halt. Right. But if Jupiter's energy overpowers the Taurus vibration, then it could be like, we're just going to move forward fast. But again, anything that moves too quickly isn't sustainable.
Right.
Okay. So we're looking for that healthy balance.
Right.
Jupiter retrogrades August the 30th at 10 degrees of Taurus. Okay. And it's a vibration of cultivation. Okay. At 10 degrees of Taurus. It moves direct December 25th at 0 degrees of Taurus, which is about tapping into the pure, uncontaminated, spontaneous manifestation of your own nature. So it's about purity. Okay. Focus on what you want to create and just keep focusing on it. Make your adjustments as you need to make those adjustments. The Jupiter retrograde is really about clearing ego consciousness and embracing your true inner nature. Okay. And then being that nature physically, emotionally.
Right.
I mentioned Saturn continues its journey through Libra. No major aspects with Saturn.
Really?
Yay, do the happy dance. I am. Other than that one, Jupiter opposite Saturn.
Right.
Okay, which we talked about already. It goes retrograde January 26th. And then stations direct on June the 12th.
Wow. With this is Saturn.
Yes, Saturn retrograde. With this particular Saturn retrograde, because it is in the sign of Libra, which is about relationships, harmony, and balance, which means there may be some restriction within relationships. Saturn's also the karmic planet, how we live our karma on Earth. Okay. And it's there's karmic repercussions within relationships. So as it goes retrograde, anything that needs to be balanced out from the past within our relationship nature, we have the opportunity to balance it out. So we need to be very aware of how we're focusing our energy within relationships. And I think I said it moves direct on June 12th.
Yeah.
Neptune, the planet of illusions, disillusions. It rules the vibrations of the soul and its consciousness. And we talked a little bit about Neptune earlier, about its higher vibration. Okay. Can never really figure it out. It's one of those planets that just leave you confused because it is the fog. It is confusion. We start the year with it at the last degrees of Aquarius.
Oh.
And on April the 4th, 2011, Neptune moves into the sign of Pisces, its ruling sign. Great for the arts, meditation. So starting any meditation, like focusing on that over the time period. Not so good for people who are focusing more on the pain body, okay, or being in that place of denial, looking for escape, okay, because Neptune does rule drug addictions, alcoholism, sex addictions, any type of addiction, okay? So it may be that specific addictions or noticing addictions may be on the rise. Okay. Mm-hmm. But you
well,
know
that
what?
Is a big topic these days.
Yes.
Because we are, I mean, we go on to our addictions to sort of escape from our pain. So
right.
That's a big thing that we're all supposed to be looking at is, you know, how do you escape your pain? What are you doing? What is your addiction that is blocking you from moving forward?
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah. So we need to be more and more aware of that. Okay. Noticing how to spot it, recognize it within the younger generation. And the opportunity here is to tap into the consciousness of your total being. Mind, body, soul, mental, emotional, spiritual, physical. Okay. But I wouldn't be surprised if there is a new addiction that rises with Neptune and Pisces, and that is a spiritual addiction.
Oh, I think that's been here for a while too. Yes.
Okay. So we can't avoid real life.
Yeah.
Okay. We can't live in a meditative state 24/7. We need to exist. Okay. Sorry. There's a few spiritual leaders that have the opportunity to live in that meditative state for long
sort
periods of time, right?
Yeah.
But if
you're
living in the
mountain.
Real world, in the practical world, okay, you need to remember to stay grounded.
Yeah.
It will retrograde back into the sign of Aquarius. And then it officially moves back into the sign of Pisces, February 3rd, 2012, where it remains there until 2024 to 2025.
Wow.
So we got a long haul on that one.
Wow. So like everything has been in my sign? Like, has that been part of the problem?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, because it's activating your own internal spirit. So there was all these activations, alignments and activations.
And it's been like for years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because you had Neptune in Aquarius.
Yes.
Right.
And Uranus.
And Uranus. Yes. And Chiron.
Right.
Over the last, Chiron has been there for a couple years. A year to 2 years. Yeah.
Leo was up, or I was in the opposite for, Saturn was in the opposite. Just, it just had come out when we moved into Libra.
Right.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All kinds of interesting things.
Oh, yeah.
So, and all year, really, Neptune and Chiron have been doing this little dance together, and Jupiter was thrown into the mix too, right? Which activated some stuff in order for you to align as, you know, finding that internal light. You need to find the spark before you can find the light.
Yeah.
So this year was about recognizing the spark. As we move into, you know, 2012 or 2012, we're trying to be the light. Okay, not just look at it, not just know it's there, but be it in its totality. Mm. Mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually.
Yes.
So, lots of fun stuff. Pluto continues its journey through Capricorn. It's there until 2024.
Okay.
It retrogrades April the 19th, goes direct September the 16th. Okay, no aspects with Pluto other than Jupiter. Mm. Chiron officially moves into the sign of Pisces on February the 8th, 2011. It was in Pisces this year from like mid-April to the end of July. So we had a little taste of it. Then it moves into its official.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Official placement. Sorry.
Right. Sign.
had a little mind block there.
A little blip.
Okay, so.
Mercury.
We have.
I know.
We've 5 got, minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you want to do? Mercury retrograde?
We should talk about the eclipses.
Or the eclipses. Okay, so we'll go into eclipses.
Because, you know, Mercury, we like do that all the time.
Yeah.
We will have you back, of course, but we're also probably going to have you off on CBS. So, you know, we can talk about some of the things that you missed. And,
perfect.
You know, we'll get it all in.
We will. And you can, it's easy to find Mercury retrograde stuff. It's more difficult to find eclipse energy.
Well, that's true.
Okay, so the eclipses are really about purging our psychological vibration. So any psychological garbage or dump or stuff that's in our consciousness that needs to be purged, okay, both mentally and emotionally. It can happen physically, okay? It can also happen spiritually. But it's really about humanity finds it difficult, or the individual finds it difficult more on a mental, emotional level. Right. Okay. Because then it adds more stress into our life. But the purpose is to let go and clear. Okay. Lunar eclipses are more of a clearing than a solar eclipse.
Okay.
Okay. And they always come in pairs.
Yes.
Our pairs are a little off this year.
Okay.
Okay. Because our first pair, actually, the lunar eclipse, it is a total lunar eclipse on December 21st at 29 degrees of Gemini. So we really need to purge our thought process, how we think, what kind of mental stuff is going through our head, how do we communicate. We need to change our method of communication. That's happening during a Mercury retrograde. Gemini rules Mercury. So there's going to be...
And winter solstice. I mean, it's a huge...
Yeah, huge shift energy taking place right there.
Yeah.
Okay, huge. So let go of your plans and go with the flow that day. Because if you're really attached to, you know, I have to get here by this time and I can't get through to this person on the phone, it's just going to create a lot of emotional turmoil. Okay, mm-hmm. So just really let go of your plans, go with the flow.
Okay. Luckily, school's off. I won't have to worry about that.
Yes, but with eclipses, we're actually integrating lessons and spiritual gifts over the course of a six-month period.
Right.
Okay. We start to feel the eclipse 2 weeks before to 2 weeks after.
Right.
And because they come in pairs that are 2 weeks apart, it's a six-week intensity that we integrate for 6 months. The solar eclipse, which is a partial one, takes place on January the 4th, 2011, in the sign of Capricorn. So Gemini and Capricorn are not your typical pair.
Right.
Okay, because Gemini usually goes with Sag, Capricorn with Cancer. Okay, so there's going to be a little bit of,
because we don't get it. The Capricorn Cancer ones from this year, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So because we're dealing with the Gemini Capricorn, we're actually infusing a little bit of... The word just jumped out of my head.
Oh, no.
Unconscious tension.
Oh.
Into the mix. Okay. So we're going to be, tension's going to be triggered on an unconscious level. Okay. Mm. Because of the sign mix. It happens again at the next set of eclipses. Every now and then, instead of two eclipses, there's three.
Oh, yeah. We had one of those. Was it this year or last year? Like,
I think it was last year. I don't think it was this year.
2009, yeah.
So we have a partial solar eclipse, June 1st, 2011, in the sign of Gemini.
Oh, okay. So we're bringing Gemini. Is just this year, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
A total lunar eclipse, June 15th, in the sign of Sagittarius. There's our pair.
Right.
A partial solar eclipse, July the 1st. In the sign of Cancer.
Huh.
So the Cancer solar is aligning with the Capricorn solar that took 6 months before. So it's almost like we're working on clearing and purging two different completely vibrations, Cancer Capricorn, which we've been doing for a year already. Yeah. And now we're infusing into the mix Gemini Sagittarius.
Hmm.
Cancer Capricorn is, Cancer's about nurturing foundation. Capricorn's about structure and building. Okay, so we've been like trying to nurture our foundation and continue to build in our life. And the things that block us from doing that is what needs to be purged. Okay, Gemini Sagittarius, we're shifting it more to knowledge. What do I know? What have I learned? How do I communicate? How do I communicate with others? How can I expand on my consciousness, on my higher knowledge? How can I share that with humanity? Okay.
Right.
So we're shifting it from our practical reality into our mental reality.
Hmm.
And it's about knowledge and information and communication and spiritual communication. So we're mixing it up a bit. And then the last set of eclipses, November the 25th, is a partial solar eclipse in the sign of Sagittarius. And the total lunar eclipse is December the 10th in the sign of Gemini.
Hmm. Interesting.
So it's really about like opening up the mind. Okay. Being willing to have an open mind, an open consciousness, seeing things differently, shifting our perspective. That's really about like, that's what these eclipses are introducing to humanity in their personal life experiences.
So what do you feel about 2011?
I feel a lot better about 2011 than I do 2010. So.
All right. I like to hear that.
I haven't looked at 2012 yet, so we'll,
you know,
talk about that at the end of next year.
I'm wondering a little bit about, you know, it should be interesting to hear what people are going to have to say.
Yeah.
We may have you do a little bit on that at some point.
Oh, we can expand, yes. Sure.
But not yet. But yeah, definitely people are going to want to know just because it's so interesting.
Yes.
Now, mind you, everybody, I mean, the 2012 that everybody's talking about is December 21st. I mean, yes. It's still quite a ways away.
Yes.
We got 2 years, so. Yeah. But that's when a lot of people think that that's the date we move into the age of Aquarius. And then there's lots of people that say we've already been there, done it. So who knows?
It's like a cusp. Somebody who's born on the cusp, they take a little bit of every sign. Okay. Right. So we're in a cusp. Right now, we're in the cusp of Pisces to Aquarius.
There you go.
Okay. We're taking a little bit of the Pisces energy and a little bit of the Aquarius energy. I don't know if you can pick a date to say, okay, we're all going to pivot at this date, right? But I think from that date forward, hopefully humanity will be living more consciously.
Right.
More in tune with their true authentic nature, their own inner light.
Yeah.
Right? But it's... Hey, I'm welcoming the Age of Light.
Me too. Amen.
Yes.
Well, Nancy, you've given us a lot to think about. You're always so well prepared, and I'm always so impressed.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And so we'll have you back, actually, probably in January, if that's okay.
Sure.
And we'll do some of the aspects we missed and some of the highlights that people are going to want to hear, and we'll talk a little bit more. All right.
Perfect. Thank
All
you.
Right. Awesome.